Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guests in the studio are from Gin. We have Wasin Shaboot and Arjun Bhatnagar. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you on Radio Entrepreneurs. Why don't you start by telling our listeners a little about your company and what it is you guys do?
Yeah, so Gin is a product execution company focused on delivering strategy with software. We work with scaling startups and small enterprises. And really, people were really focused on trying to deliver new products, innovative products, and taking a different approach to how they're growing their company. Our background is really in focusing on user-centric design and really robust and powerful product infrastructure to make sure that your products are scaling, can serve your customers. At the end of the day, what we found is that companies that are growing today are now focused on really the user experience and how you're really building around that.
So you guys would be brought in from a conceptual stage, and it's typically around new product, and if I understand correctly, it's all software-based?
Yeah, so typically around a new product. Our clients may not be a software business themselves. Okay. They're focused on either their core business or their operations, and we're coming in to develop products really to service their business and showing how they can better connect with their customers.
And any particular industries that you guys service, or any particular niches?
No particular industry, and the reason that, so I mean, we've worked in transportation, we've worked in education, we've worked in not almost everything, but we've worked in a lot of stuff at this point. But what we say and what we've recognized is that our flow, our process, our means of going about product execution is so standard that it doesn't matter what industry you're coming from. The client is the industry expert in this situation. They have the knowledge, they understand the strategy, they know where they're trying to go. They're the visionary per se. The way we come in and the way we augment that role, the expertise of the visionary, is by saying, okay, hey, how do we then look at what you're trying to address from your end user's perspective and then roll back to build a product that really, really will touch that user and also solves your business problem. So it doesn't necessarily matter what industry they're coming from. Our process, we state, is so strict and standard that we're able to allow for any kind of innovation to come in and go through the Gin process and come out as a successful product.
So it's interesting, if I'm hearing what you guys are saying, is that you start with that old adage, the keep the end in mind, and the end being the user experience. And you're highly focused on what is that target customer who's utilizing the app or the software experiencing. And you want to focus on delivering a positive experience as far as that's concerned, and then your process takes you there, takes you along that path.
We
without giving up too much secret sauce to what you guys are doing.
Of course, yeah, and to give up more secret sauce, the way we approach product execution, we call it systems experience design. So it's not just necessarily how the user interacts with your product is a component of things, but how your user exists within the system that you're building is, I think, the way that we kind of differentiate ourselves and the means by which we look at that end user. Because so what we say at Gin is that your product, your experience, is the culmination of all of the systems that are behind it. So even when we're going through the design process, at stage two of our design process, we'll say, all right, we're no longer going to plot this experience against time. We're going to look at this from like a outside of time perspective, and we're going to say, what are the systems that you need in place? What's the data that you need to power those systems to allow for a user to engage with your product and form your solution? From there, then we say, all right, now what's their end user experience? But until we've really defined the systems that we have the users that are engaging with and working with, we don't even make the step to say, all right, how do we want them to feel at the end? That's something that comes about after you've defined the major systems in play for the product to be something the user can engage with.
So as you talked about, you've got a fairly regimented process that you apply into the development cycle. And I know it's not a standard question to answer, but what is the typical time lapse from when you engage with a client till the end stage? What's that?
It's a
generally
very typical question.
Yeah, I imagine everybody's concerned because it sounds like, well, you know, how long is this going to?
Yeah.
So we have a very interesting approach for that time aspect. So everyone thinks when you're building a new website, new app, it's a 6 month or some very long, arduous process. So we've developed our whole process that we're building for clients within 16 weeks. And in that, we're doing our whole extensive design. We're really focused on the design aspect in the beginning. So we try to get out all the kinks. A lot of development happens. Let's jump in and develop first and then fix it along the way. And that keeps dragging on. With our approach with that, really just driving deep in the design, really thinking through every aspect, development's a lot smoother for us, actually. Mm-hmm. And then so where we kind of grabbed our space in the market is that we want to say, we want to take project complexity within 16 weeks and say, so obviously we say less than 16 weeks and putting kind of the upper bound. But the idea is that if we can capture this space, what we can do over time is how do we reduce project complexity to keep within that window? Because there are bigger players out there who are developing for big companies taking 1-2 year projects.
Right.
But we're saying that for new products, this is the time window we need to deliver them. Unless you're building a very complex, long-term project, then we say, even in that case, we talk about product road mapping. And that's a really big one of our assets is that how do you roll out a version 1, version 2, version 3? The reason people deliver one year, 2 year, they shove all the features they can and expect this is what the customers want. Right. And our approach is that let's really articulate what a customer can experience first and then how do they grow into your platform, your software, your system. And that's how we start rolling out updates and the new iterations of your platform.
I was going to say, it would seem to me that the iterative process in that respect allows you to probably develop something, you know, if you look at multi-phased, at the end of the day, you're probably doing something by, you know, the fifth iteration, that's much better had you done all 5 iterations in one release.
Yeah.
And, you know, and said, hey, the users aren't using it the way we expected. So at least you get to iteratively, you know, test and experience and get the feedback.
A lot of clients also like come in saying, or we've even had clients that have done this in the past with previous development companies. They'll get like a very, what we would call dirty MVP, like something that was just like scrapped together, not built all too well, but something that users can engage with. And they say, all right, now I'm going to get user feedback off of this and then grow from there. But what we kind of recognize about that industry standard is that you're literally building yourself up for technical debt. This product that your users are engaging with, this thing that might have a lot of the features but like not built all too well, like in the end of the day, it's going to become a wasted investment where you're getting user feedback, and that's not a total waste, but by building something where it's actually robust, sustainable, and can endure at first, and then having feedback off of that you can build on top of that existing product, you're no longer investing in maybe like for this dirty MVP like $7,000 and then throwing it away. You're investing in, of course, more money, but it's something that you're growing with, and in the long run, you're reducing technical debt. And that's been something that's honestly been a challenge to pitch and share, just because the industry has been saying this is how you should operate. You need to get something out there immediately. You need to act upon it. You need to go now.
Right.
But taking a step back, maybe for our design process takes first sprint 2 weeks, second sprint 2 weeks, third sprint 1 week. So total 5 weeks. And by the end of that, you have the plan for this robust product. Then, as Arjun was saying, your development timeline, you're going 12 to 16 weeks or so. You're not losing a whole lot of time, but you're gaining a whole lot of value in that you no longer have the same levels of technical debt.
I would say it sounds like an incredibly interesting approach and something that makes